Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
How you doing, Stegulane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow,
bow, bow. Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. Happy! I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. Happy!
The 70s.
1918. What does it mean?
Oh, man.
1918. What does it mean?
Wow.
86 years. 86 years, 86 years.
Oh, he got smoked.
I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. Happy.
Wow.
I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die.
Oh, man.
I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die.
The 70s, man. The 70s were happening.
2004.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. And your Boston Red Sox are one game away from the World Series.
I had the creator of that song reach out and say, would you like me to come in studio and perform the acoustic version?
And did you say, no?
And I was like, you know what? I didn't even respond to him yet. Who knows? If they move on to the World Series, and why not?
That may be my fault. I kind of brought it up on the air a couple of days ago.
Well, I mean, you said that there had been an acoustic version that was...
He did it on the phone. I remember that.
Well, that might be kind of funny if he calls
it
and does
it on
the phone.
And did the acoustic version.
I
remember
we need to
have
the man go all the way out here to play an acoustic version of a song that we've... had for several years.
If he does it on the phone and then adds a final, very short verse about Sarge, then I would have no problem with it.
Yeah. 1918, Sarge.
But it has been good luck, apparently, the Red Sox fan song.
Magical thinking.
It is the reason.
Jaguar?
Yeah, I was wondering, is there any way we can get rid of Kimbrel after last night's performance and the performance of the whole season?
That was just another... I mean, no lead is safe when Kimbrel comes out there. It was, and if Benintendi didn't have that unbelievable catch to end the game, then it
the Sox
been,
lose.
Yeah, well, at least it goes to extra
ball
innings.
Ball goes to the wall, and the Red Sox lose the game.
Yeah,
if everyone scores, and the Red Sox lose 9-8.
It goes to the wall, and
at least have scored
there's
two.
No way Jackie Bradley Jr. gets over there in time to stop that from happening.
Yeah,
that clears the base.
Kimbrel was the worst, once again, and he has done nothing to instill any kind of confidence. And what's amazing is that you've got a group of guys who nobody had any faith in. There wasn't any reason for you to have any faith. Who have been holding it together outside of Craig Kimbrel.
Brazier has been unbelievable.
Well, they asked him to go two innings. So that was...
I was very surprised. I saw David Price warming up in the bullpen. I'm like, they're going to bring in Price. And you know what? I was kind of okay with it. I was kind of okay with David Price pitching in relief. He's much better in relief in the playoffs than he is as a starter. But, you know, that would allow who the hell is going to start today. But I didn't care. You know, if you have a chance to win, you do everything you can to win a playoff game. I thought for sure David Price is going to pitch the ninth last night.
Well, he did not, and it was a heart attack save. Alex, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
I think the key to this series has been whether or not, or originally was the whether or not the Red Sox pitching could shut down the Astros offense, but clearly it's been now the ability of the Red Sox putting up runs and being able to score, which is something Sarge can't say.
That's right. He cannot say that.
Jesus.
Again. You cannot say that.
Blindsided.
That's right.
Yep.
But, yeah, but if you look at the Kimbrel thing, that's looking at a negative. And then, of course, you had the Mookie Betts situation in the outfield, which I think they got wrong. But Country Joe West was out there, and he made the call on the field after he thought about it for about 5 hours. And
he was going to catch it, but by the rule,
I don't know.
The way the rule is read is that if he reaches,
if he had caught that, that would have been one of the best catches in all of baseball
history. It was going directly into his glove.
I know. The wall's 7 feet tall, and Betts got his entire shoulder over the wall to try and almost caught it. It would have been a fantastic catch. And honestly, I looked at the replay like 50 times, like everybody else did. And I thought Betts was far enough away from the wall when he got over it to put the whole thing into question. It was a coin flip either way. Put it this way, if West had called it a home run,
then it
they wouldn't have been able to
overturn
that.
It's all about once you get overturned.
It was it was really close. Can we agree on that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was close. It wasn't obvious one way or the other.
He closed his own
mitt. No, he didn't. Somebody knocked into it.
I disagree. I think he closed his own mitt.
No, a fan absolutely did. They pushed right into it.
A fan touched the mitt and knocked it around.
A fan touched the mitt.
I understand. I think the fan pushed it. It kept him from making the
attempt
at a catch.
You think it pushed his mitt closed?
Yes, I do. It pushed his mitt. It absolutely did.
As he moved from right to left, he was kind of jumping right to left. He kind of jumped into a couple of hands who pushed that side of the mitt closed. Yes, I do.
I completely disagree with that.
Why would he have closed his mitt?
Because he misjudged the timing of the ball.
I think he was right there.
No, he was there.
He was in the area. He was right there.
I think he had a chance to catch that ball. I think he timed it perfectly.
Why would he close his mitt if he didn't feel the ball in his glove yet?
Okay, yeah, obviously, we have a situation where you were not really getting it. Jared, go ahead.
What do you mean?
You can't, because if you're over the wall and you're 7 feet in the wall, you can misjudge a ball and close your mitt.
You can, but I don't think he did that. I think
the idea that can't happen when you're 7 feet in the air is ridiculous.
It can happen, but not in this case. I think
would you close your glove if the ball's not in it?
It pushed it closed. Two guys pushed it closed.
No, but that's not the point. Why would you close your glove because you misjudged the ball? I mean, you're reaching over your head.
This is Fred's theory as to why the glove was closed, and I disagree with that.
And which is perfectly reasonable, but I
think the fans actually pushed it closed, not on purpose, but by accident.
Obviously,
yes.
But they should be. Were they shamed? They showed other.
Did
dudes.
They get a letter of disinvite? They get ejected? I didn't see.
By the way, they showed other dudes like texting. Like, I think they screwed, like, three other guys in the stands.
And I like how we would have seen the picture of over the wall, but the security guard had just leaning over, blocking any view you could have had from Betts making that catch from the side. It was great.
And you're right. If he had made that catch, it would be one of the great catches season history.
And by the way, I mean, it all comes down to whether or not he went into the stands or they came out over the fence.
And that's the problem. It was one of those really close calls because Betts didn't get back to the wall in time and jump up. He was, whatever he was, 2-3 feet away from it and reaching back. So it's impossible to see unless you have a camera right on the wall.
And they did,
where the
except
glove was.
Did you see that one angle?
I'm just going to say the security guy was blocking it. I saw it. That's what I was just talking about.
Yeah, he was the one guy who just blocked that shot. But, yes, Dan.
So having said that about the security guy leaning one way, Rochie has a picture on Twitter if you can look it up. He's in the auxiliary press box, which is on the other side of where that happened in center field. And his picture angle is, he says, directly down the line, and the guy's hand is out into the field. So,
you couldn't tell. It looked like I thought he went into the stands, but either way, it was like he was going to make that catch. And so, I have no problem with Joe West. I can't believe I'm defending Joe West, but I got no problem with him making that call.
Jared, go ahead.
Hey, steak and eggs, guys.
Hey,
I've been talking about it all week, but these games start so late. I mean, you know, I have a job. I can't be staying up that late to even comment on how horrible Kimbrel is compared to Sarge and how bad Sarge is at life.
Yeah.
Aha! Uh-huh. I mean, stop doing that. It isn't nice.
Sometimes you know,
you're stealing my line.
Two people.
You're stealing my line.
I know, it's such a cool line. I figured I'd steal it once. That's it. I'm done. You know, I won't do it again.
Yeah. But ultimately, I don't know how much that mattered in the outcome.
Well, to Houston fans this morning, just imagine if that was a Red Sox thing. I mean, that's got to be all they're talking
Houston
about.
Houston fans, if they lose this series, because that's a pivotal game. If they lose this series, they'll be talking about that forever.
Well, they're losing the series.
The Astros. See, the thing about that is, Fred, the Red Sox pitching is in a shambles. I mean, it really is. You have a guy who can't starting tonight. And you have Chris Sale at what? 20-30%
I don't think
starting
gonna,
game
I don't
six.
Think they're going to pitch Sale. I don't think that they can.
They say they are.
I know, but I think that they're going to go bullpen.
And then what? I guess Evaldi's a lot for game seven, and I have a lot of confidence there. But, I mean, one game, winner take all, you don't know what's going to happen. But the next two games are by no means layups for the Red Sox, considering the guys who are slated to start them.
Jake, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I just went and looked at the ESPN clip that they have online there, and the replay, they actually show Mookie talking to the other outfielders, and he says that the fans smacked his glove close.
Oh, well.
On top of that, Sarge is a failure at life.
Okay, thank you.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Well, it appears we have a certain theme that's running through the show.
Yeah, well, Dick Donahue actually tweeted us and said, first Sarge call at 6:07. Is that a record?
That might be. That might be. All right, Rich, we'll talk more about the ALCS.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who might be hearing our voice this morning who didn't get to find out how that game ended. And you know, despite the length, that was a great, great game. Agreed. Tough to turn off.
Yeah, it was a good game. And that's pretty much it. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich. It's Toucher and Rich.
Last night. 98.5 to Sports Up. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, it was a wild one out there in Houston. Yeah.
Yes, it was. And what happened last night brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin' Donuts. Go twos. Participation may vary. After an absolute classic with a side of controversy, the Red Sox are now one game away from the World Series.
Kimbrel deals, Bregman in the air, left field. Benintendi dives, and he makes the catch! Oh, what a play! Game saver, Andrew Benintendi! The Red Sox win on a spectacular catch by Benintendi in left field.
Benintendi hardly ever shows any emotion. To see him just jump up and fist pump that way and freak out, excellent play.
I mean, they would have lost.
Yeah.
That was it. That was the legit Johnny Gomes do or die. That was it.
Yeah, that's what Johnny Gomes says he was supposed to do.
That was the epitome of it last night.
If he misses that ball and it gets past him, that's game.
It rolls forever.
Yeah.
And everybody scores and the Red Sox lose.
Yep, it was long as hell, but man, it was hard to turn that one off. 8-6, the final score. I even checked on you last night, Wallach. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
Right around 12:15, I'm like, you still up? And he's like, yep.
I'm still up. Full disclosure, I did not. I was sitting there on the couch. I fell asleep on the couch after the eighth inning.
I think it was 12:48.
Yeah.
I think was when it finally ended.
Yeah, I fell asleep about 12:30 or so, and then I woke up, and it was just blind luck because I had no alarm anywhere near me. It was just blind luck. I woke up at 3:30 in the morning, and then thank God I had recorded it, watched the end, and I watched the end without looking, got the full experience like everybody else. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Right, you're sitting there watching Kimbrel just blow it. But the back and forth, it started right from the start. Sox got on board with two quick runs right off the bat in the first, but in the bottom of that inning, with a man on base, it was Jose Altuve's shot and the attempted catch at the wall by Mookie that is making Astros fans' heads explode this morning.
Altuve, right field. At the track, he leaps, and it is out. It's off a fan. No, they're saying off of bats. It is in play. They may be calling it interference. I'm trying to get a read on the right field umpire here. Joe West made a couple of calls.
Yep.
There was a signal to the fan. There was a tap on his wrist. Then there was an out call. And out is the call.
Yeah, Mookie jumped about as high as humanly possible, hand above the wall, and it looks like the ball's headed right into his glove. That was until Hick numbers 1, 2, and 3 reached out for the ball, but in the process, at least according to John and I, closed Mookie's glove, rendering him unable to catch it.
I disagree that they closed his glove.
And that's what Mookie's saying.
All right, can we agree that they interfered with his glove?
I don't know enough not to call that a home run. I mean, if you reach your hand into the... let's interpret the rule. And I know, like, Hurley probably has a 5,000-word diatribe on how you interpret the rule. But if I reach back into the crowd, which I believe that was a home run.
Okay, that's where we disagree, but okay.
Okay, you don't think that was a home run?
I think he did reach backwards.
He did reach back, yeah. But as I said earlier here in the show, he was far enough away from the wall that where the glove wound up was still in question. It was close, but I don't think it definitively went into the crowd, no.
See, I think it definitively did go into the crowd. And by the way, Dan Roach's pitcher was from the moon.
Yeah, yes. And on top of that, it wasn't even during the play.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, you can see the fans are reaching over.
Yeah, it's like,
huh?
Dan was about 600 feet from home plate.
Let's put it this way. If I think Joe West made a mistake, and then at that point, when he made the call on the field, I don't fault the replay officials.
Because you couldn't overturn it.
Right. Yeah. So I fault Joe West, as I am comfortable doing.
And Joe West, by the way, was nowhere near the play at all. And
no.
I think it was Ron Darling who explained, well, you can't have the right field guy. You can't have the guy all the way down the right field line, because then you can't tell if a home run's fair or foul if you're standing underneath the foul pole. That was the explanation for why Joe West was close to
fair enough.
Usually we'd have outfield. A good camera angle, but unfortunately security guy number one was blocking the shot. But
yes.
the way the rule reads, just a brief synopsis, is no interference should be allowed when a fielder reaches over a fence to catch a ball. He does so at his own risk. However, should a spectator reach out onto the playing field side of the fence and plainly prevent the fielder from catching the ball, then the batter should be called out for spectator interference. And that's kind of where that gray area goes, but it didn't really matter at that point because it needed to be so blatantly obvious from the camera right. angle that you had in order to overturn it.
I think Joe West made a mistake, because not only do I think that ball was out, I mean, I really do. I would bank my life on it that was in the stands.
I disagree. And the other part of it is that you were talking about closing the glove. Doesn't matter whether or not the fans closed the glove. It just mattered where the glove was at the time.
No, I understand, but I don't even think the fans closed the glove.
But in the end, I think that if you were just to look at the spirit of whether or not that should have been an out, it should have been an out. It was falling directly into his glove. Like, if there was no fan interference, it was going directly into his glove.
But the spirit of the out doesn't matter. It matters. All that matters is where the glove was when it was touched.
Yeah, and that's why I have no problem.
If you reached in, then it's on Betts and it's a home run. If he's out and if the glove was touched before he went over the wall, before the glove went over the wall, then it is fan interference and it's an out.
All right. John, go ahead.
It's Fred, how can you say that the fan didn't close the guy's glove?
Because I don't think he did.
I mean, if there was no fan there, you can watch that the ball's going to go right into his glove. It hits off the side of his glove after it hits that guy's hand.
And I've seen numerous guys jump into the stands and miss home run balls by inches.
So if it doesn't hit Fett's gloves at all, it's a home run. I mean, it hits his gloves. It would have went right into the webbing.
Okay, all right. So if it doesn't...
Be an out.
Huh?
And that's a ballsy call to call him out in Houston. He was out.
You think the ball was not in the stands?
That's a tough call because of that security guard was in the way.
All right,
down the line angle, the security guard was right in the way.
Yeah, so I think it was a home run.
That's a tough one, but I'm glad we got the call. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, absolutely. If you're a Red Sox fan, you're very happy you got the call.
I'm just curious because I want to know the camera angle you saw, because, I mean, of the ones I saw, like every one, it was pretty blatant that he pushed it in there, but there might have been a different angle that you saw
I did not. Because I don't know if it's possible that I can put my glove out and someone can knock into it and close it completely. Like that if I have my glove up, and someone touches it, that it's going to close my glove completely.
He was moving from side to side and ran into the guys that were reaching over.
See, I think that I think he missed time.
But ultimately, it doesn't matter.
That part doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
But that part doesn't matter at all. But it just is my opinion and judging it and seeing it, and it doesn't matter either way with that. But I mean, it does happen where you're blindly leaping into
you
the
see
air.
It dozens of times, if you've watched any baseball at all, guys go into the crowd all the time and they run into fans and they don't get it. Or there are no fans there and they jump up and they can't get the ball.
Right, because in the athleticism that Bet showed is spectacular. He's the best player in baseball. anything you want to hear. I think that was a home run, though.
Here's, by the way, here's Mookie Betts talking about that.
I don't think I was surprised because I knew I was going to catch it. So I guess you could say I was kind of surprised that he... I've never seen or been a part of a play like that. So I guess yeah, you could say I was kind of surprised he made the out call. And as I watched the video, it's like he got it right because, you know, I feel like it was going to my glove for sure.
Well, then there you go. It would be funny if he was like, nah, I wasn't going to catch it. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with Fred on this one. You watch the video again. I just went back and watched it. The guy on the left, he has his hands down, and Mookie's glove starts closing before it even gets anywhere close to the other guy getting pushing it and hitting it. So I think he misjudged it a little bit. I mean, either way, I'm glad they called it out. We squeaked out with a win, but I agree with Frederick on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that it wasn't that blatant interference, but... You know, what does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what the big thing is, Benintendi did catch the ball.
Yeah, and that was
and that was ultimately what the play of the game was.
Well, or was it more heroic from the best damn player on the planet?
And a high drive way back. Jackie Bradley Jr. sends it out of here, and Boston is back on top. A majestic home run for JBJ.
Somebody say majestic.
After they gave those rapscallions the letter of disinvite.
He's Spike Owen in 85. he's going to do Letterman.
It is. I mean, Buddy, he's the Biancolana. Guy. He does it again.
Am I thinking Buddy Biancolana?
Yeah, it's fine. Okay. Spike Owen, he did play for the Red Sox, I think, in 80. Did he play for the Red Sox in 86? I don't remember. But anyway,
Buddy
Biancolana. That was the Royals.
Like he hit 180 all season and went nuts in the World Series.
Somebody sold their soul before this postseason, because where would the Red Sox be without Jackie Bradley Jr.? And with either starting pitcher not being really any good at all, Rick Porcello lasting only 4 innings, and Charlie Morton vomiting on his shoes, we had ourselves a bullpen showdown.
And by the way, he lasted 1 inning too long with Porcello, because I just think he was out of pitchers.
That's exactly why he waited.
We need Rick Porcello to give us 4 innings.
Yeah,
we can't afford to send it, because we know we don't have Sale for tomorrow, so we don't even know who we're going to start tomorrow. And he pitched all the guys he was supposed to start today. He's pitched Kelly, he pitched Eduardo Rodriguez, and he only let Eduardo Rodriguez face one guy. And I think that was because he didn't know who he was going to start in Game 5.
All right, when we get back, we will have to break down the Kimbrel breakdown. Ugh. And on top of that, what Alex Cora is saying about your pitcher for Game 5, and of course your calls, and right now there seems to be plenty of them.
Yes, they're all going to argue with me about the home run catch. It should have been a home run. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
Benintendi dives, and he makes the catch! Oh, what a play! Game saver, Andrew Benintendi! The Red Sox win on a spectacular catch by Benintendi in left field. Wow!
Just awesome. That catch was unbelievable.
Yeah. You can't ask for more. He misses that. That's the end of the game. That's as clutch as you can get. Be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance. I don't know how we are supposed to get out at 6:50. Mathematically, I don't know how it's supposed to happen. I was thinking about it last night. Like, how are we supposed to get out at 6:50 of break? I don't know.
I think 6:45 is when we're supposed to get out.
Okay, but so I've been on time this morning, and I really have been exactly on time. So this is supposed to be essentially a 7-minute break?
This break goes from 6:37 to 6:45.
Hmm.
Okay, be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance.
We're going to rule this quarter hour. You watch.
I don't get it. Be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to Fight Night Boston, featuring 3 title bouts, headlined by Demetrius
Andrade.
This Saturday at TD Garden. Purchase tickets today at Ticketmaster.com or by visiting the TD Garden box office. A controversial call last night.
Yeah, we have a ton of calls on that right now. But if you fell asleep, the one thing you did miss, and are maybe glad you'd missed, was that Craig Kimbrel once again was Craig Kimbrel.
Altuve at the plate with one away.
A
on the ground is short, backhanded, Bogarts, the long throw is a good one. A run will score. Makes it a two-run game. That's an RBI for Altuve.
Unbelievable. With a three-run lead, you knew it wasn't safe when Craig Kimbrel got up there. It was as gross as it gets. However, it has to be said that Mookie Betts, even though he was robbed of what would have been the best defensive play of the playoffs, gave us another one of them.
There's a first pitch swing and a base hit by Kemp. And he's thinking about two, and he's on his way. Betts is thrown to second. The tag. He is out at second.
Why do you go to second there?
And what a
That run is meaningless.
Because Kemp thought, oh, there's just no way he gets me.
Yeah, but
okay. That's why he went.
No, I know, but but that run means nothing.
Yeah, I agree.
Why would I risk anything at that point?
I have no idea.
To get rid of the force at second? I mean, why am I testing Mookie Betts' arm at that point?
It was just an absolute laser from right field. But
how many right fielders get him there? Seriously. How many right fielders in Major League Baseball get him at second, get that guy at second base?
I'm still not testing his arm.
I understand.
For me to go for second, there is absolutely, unless...
Of course not. You're losing. Every run is precious. You want to make sure you're absolutely sure. But I understand what the guy was thinking. There may be two right fielders on the planet that get him at second base, and the Red Sox have one of them.
I'm thinking I don't need to be on second because ultimately it doesn't matter.
So is he now. Shouldn't have done that.
Ultimately, it doesn't matter unless I'm very concerned about the force at second.
Well, so after that, not much longer after that, was, of course, that great catch by Andrew Benintendi, and the game was done. So it was announced yesterday before the game that Chris Sale would be a no-go for today's game in Houston, with the Sox determining that he's not yet ready to pitch after his hospital stint, where he's apparently vomiting before he went in. Well, the plan now is for Sale to throw a bullpen session today as preparation for Game 6 in Boston on Saturday, if the series goes that far. Here was Alex Cora being asked about Sale's condition.
Chris Sale, he's not starting tomorrow. We talk about it today. He still feels weak. Like I said earlier, he lost some weight. I know that's hard to believe, but yeah, he did. He didn't throw a bullpen today. He's feeling better compared to yesterday, but physically he's not there yet. So I think, you know, if necessary, you know, he'll pitch Game 6. He feels that he'll be ready for that one, and we'll go from there.
If this is all a smokescreen, and let's say it's arm-related, and he got something like a cortisone shot, would that make sense? Like, I've never obviously had to pitch after getting a cortisone shot, but would it be almost impossible to 2 days later get on the mound?
No, the cortisone like that shot would expedite the process.
But there's a period of time where you can't do any physical activity in the area where you got it after you get it, correct?
Yeah.
No, 48 hours after you get the shot, you're
24 hours, but the whole point is these guys get cortisone shots. There's some players that get cortisone shots every other week.
Understood, but aren't you still supposed to refrain from intense activity, physical activity for like a day or two?
I've never been told that.
I thought so.
Well,
but then why would I give him a cortisone shot 24 hours before he was supposed to play?
Well, because they knew they could move him to Game 6 if they had to.
Well, I don't think he's going to pitch Game 6. He's hurt. No, I don't. Well, I could be completely wrong, but I've gotten a couple cortisone shots, and they never said anything to me.
Well, then after the game, Cora finally addressed the most important question. Who the hell is going to start today?
He was going to come in if the eighth was worse than what it was, whatever, if they would have scored two. He was going to come in if we would have scored two in the ninth because of the long inning, but it didn't happen, and, now tomorrow he'll start.
And that heel being David Price.
Okay. Price starts tomorrow.
Today.
You got to figure it's a short start for him because all of Price's postseason starts are short. And then we're back into the bullpen again. And God help the Red Sox if they have a lead. Who's going to come in to pitch? Kimbrel threw 35 pitches yesterday. They can't use him for more than two or three hitters. Ryan Brazier's pitched three of the last 4 days and had to get five outs last night. I mean, who's going to set up and who's going to close tonight if the Sox have a lead? I mean, is Kimbrel your closer again? I mean, he's been scored on in every postseason appearance he's had so far.
What choice do you have?
You have none. I mean, give Cora credit. I mean, he's going for the kill. He's using all these guys. If you have a lead in the playoffs, you do everything you can to protect it and worry about tomorrow. But now it is tomorrow, and I'm fascinated to see who he brings in out of that bullpen after Price gets knocked out. because he's running out of arms. You got a lot of tired people. I know that there's a day off tomorrow and you can afford to do some things you wouldn't ordinarily do, but I don't see how Brazier pitches again today. And again, Kimbrel, 35 pitches last night to get six outs. So I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they piece it together.
All right, everyone wants to talk about the Mookie Betts quote unquote catch. Braden, go ahead.
Fred, I just want to know what review you were looking at. They showed multiple close ups of him literally closing his glove.
Yes, he closed his glove. First of all, I think it was over the wall. And second of all, yes, he closed his glove.
Not Mookie closing his glove. The fan closing his glove.
I don't think that the fan was... It's possible that the fan closed his glove like that.
If he literally seen the review that they showed a few times last night...
I managed to come across the review, yes.
So you did see it. All right, so you are coming across that the fan did close his glove.
No, I don't think... I think he bumped into a fan. I don't think the fan closed the glove.
All I know is, by the way, here's the real question. Someone just tweeted,
I love you, Fred. I love you, but it's just hilarious.
I don't think that he closed his glove.
By the way, Fred
I
is not...
I thought there was going to be Fred a Sarge
is,
joke there.
Fred is not alone in that, by the way. I don't know anybody else, but I just am saying that to make you feel better.
All right.
I've got some tweets.
I don't think the fan is close. The fan closed his glove.
Okay. Somebody said, have we not talked about the Reagan Bush hats yet? I just imagine that guy had been wearing that since 84 and just wakes up with that hat on his head.
Now, but is he the guy, one of the guys that did it, or is he one of the guys that they just kept showing?
No, I don't think he was one of the... He wasn't the guy with the barbed wire tattoo on his arm, was he?
No, okay. No, it's a different guy.
It wasn't the thumbs down guy.
Right.
And it wasn't one of the two dudes checking their phones every time there was a replay. I think it was the guy like right next to him.
Yeah.
But they kept showing him. It was like mouth agape Reagan Bush 84 hat, dude.
Well, you
and
know
I was
what?
Like, yeah, I wonder how that's going to affect the campaign.
That was a major milestone in the world. All right.
I think that guy was about to get a letter of disinvite, but then they saw the hat. They're like, oh, I'm sorry, man.
All right. Well, here we go.
You got your own things going on.
We are staying on time. We will return.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich, car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to Fight Night Boston featuring three title bouts headlined by Demetrius Andrade this Saturday at TD Garden. Purchase tickets today at Ticketmaster.com or by visiting the TD Garden box office.
So after everything that's been happening over the last 48 hours involving the Red Sox, Buster Olney tweeted out yesterday that many team officials across baseball are frustrated and appalled by Major League Baseball's decision on the whole Astros Spygate deal, where that guy so blatantly stood right in the camera well and was filming the dugout of the Red Sox and the Cleveland Indians in the series beforehand. They believe that Rob Manfred threatened in the past to come down hard on violators of any kind of electronic surveillance. And now, with crystal clear evidence of Houston breaking the rules, nothing happens. Now, as we know, Houston is using the whole "we were filming them to make sure they weren't filming us" excuse. Well, our friend Danny Roach yesterday asked Dave Dombrowski about what he was told about the situation.
You seem angry, Dave, because of that.
Oh, I mean, I'm not angry. I'm just upset that it's a situation that I don't like the implication that we were doing something that they were checking on when they were actually, don't forget, they're the ones that created a false credential or asked for a credential as somebody that's not supposed to have one. So baseball, I mean, the person is not an employee of the Houston Astros, and that person's not supposed to have been a credentialed person in that box. I know that for a fact. So it's a bad thing to put it upon our lap.
I'm kind of happy the way with baseball's been handling this. They released like a statement saying that we've looked into it and everything's fine and there's going to be no punishments or anything. I mean, this is an age old like signal stealing. It's been around forever. Just the fact that the guy was so blatant was absolutely hysterical. But all of the people who are going, well, you know, look what happened with Brady and deflated footballs and all this stuff. Well, that should have never happened. It should have been something more similar to this. All right, man. Well, this stuff happens. You know, hey, you're getting a verbal warning. Don't be so blatant next time.
No, I understand. And then they move on. Dombrowski's pissed. His team got slapped on the wrist and made to look like fools for that Apple Watch thing. And his
but nothing
team,
happened.
I understand that. Well, they got fined, but it ultimately the Astros didn't even get fined for this, and it was far more as blatant as what the Red Sox did. And I read you the New York Daily News article from a couple of last year. Major League Baseball told all 30 teams, if this happened again with any of them, punishment would be more severe.
What happened. What the hell could he possibly get on the phone? I mean, honestly.
I don't know.
But seriously, I mean, if I filmed their dugout, What the hell am I finding out?
Well, I mean, because signs during the game that mean you.
I could get that from anywhere.
What's that?
I could get that from anywhere.
It's the Bill Belichick Spygate.
No. Spygate. They were taping practices. If you believe what was going on.
Well, I mean,
I don't even want to get into that.
But what I'm saying is that if you're filming the sideline, anyone could film into that dugout.
Well, that was
conversations on strategy between a manager and a hitter, or a hitting coach and a hitter.
So with my cell phone, I'm going to pick up some sort
got
of...
Got a guy who reads lips? I don't know, Fred, exactly what you can get from there. I have no idea.
Something valuable, but because this guy's doing it over and over after being busted already.
Somebody must think it's important. Not every team has a guy stationed outside the opposing team's dugout.
I have no idea what you're going to glean from taping a dugout.
Did you hear how incredulous, though, the Houston Astros were? I forget whether it was the GM or it was somebody else in their office who was saying, and this is like a 20-something-year-old kid, and you're going and you're ruining his life. I was like, well, you're the one who sent him out there and gave him the fake credential.
How are you ruining his life?
Oh, now he had to take his pictures down off of Instagram. It's over.
What percentage of the population is aware of who this person is?
It's funny.
He's the guy with the cell phone.
Right, who pretends that nobody can see him, but he's standing right out in front of everybody. It was the worst plan ever.
I just don't know what you're going to glean from having the dugout.
Well, obviously something, because everyone does it. I mean, that's the thing, is that obviously there you can get some sort of important information by doing what he did, because it happens all the time.
I honestly don't. I mean, you're not going to catch any signs. I mean, you're not. I mean, you can look at that from anywhere.
Maybe he was just filming the dude who had the Reagan Bush 84 hat just to say, dude, check out
pointing
this guy.
In the wrong
still
direction.
Wearing
you
got to
look at it the other direction.
That's his lucky hat.
Yeah,
I guess so.
Yeah, what did the Astros do over there in 84?
Yeah, I'll have to check.
Was there some sort of karma?
Something really good happened? He never took his hat off after that?
I got to see that, yeah.
Did they do something that maybe that...
J.R. Richard and all those guys? I don't know. Hang on. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm sure that there's someone who wants to argue with you, Fred.
Well, there's a whole slew full of people. Not just arguing. They want to argue on both sides here.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
He's a lip reader. Get him.
Yeah, right.
84, missed the playoffs, under 500.
All right, so I don't know that. Certainly 80, I don't believe they were anything good. Nick, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I actually agree. I mean, it was a great athletic play by Mookie. But at the end of the day, those fans did exactly what I think, as we were fans, we'd expect them to do. And I actually think that the most frustrating part is if this went the other way, and it was the Red Sox, you'd have every Red Sox fan complaining to the moon and back that that it was a home run. It should have been a home run. And I agree with you, Fred.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. I thought there was going to be something at the end of that call, but it didn't happen.
No, thank you.
Yeah. I believe that it was in the stands, and I'm not convinced that the fan shut his glove. And if you disagree with me, God bless you. But I will go to my grave.
Really?
I will go to my grave. It will be all I think about.
1980, Fred, they made the playoffs.
Perhaps in 80, they made the playoffs.
Lost in the first round.
But maybe it had been a long drought. I don't recall the 70s and the effectiveness of the Houston Astros. But maybe it broke a drought of
some
sort.
Actually, it did. It's funny you say that. It did.
Okay.
80 was the first time they ever made the playoffs. So,
oh, there you go.
So he's had this hat for, what, 37 years?
No, they started in 1962. And then 1980, they were the expansion team in 62, and then in 80 was the first year they made the playoffs.
And it's never left his hat since.
That's right.
Or his head. It's been stuck there, just there. He just wakes up with it on his head.
Yeah, he wakes up and he smells it, and it gets him right out of bed like smelling salts. Are we going to talk about Dan Lifshatz, generally?
Well, it's time for the Bankroll Boys.
That's right.
He is asleep on a couch.
He worked the overnight. He's been here all night. You know, he probably...
got the throwback Welker jersey on. He's ready.
He worked his other job yesterday. The man has not slept, so he is going to be nice and perky in a minute and a half when he's on the air with us.
Somebody wake him up. I love the idea that he can just sleep like that.
I could never sleep in an open place, in an office.
Turned off the light in the hallway, so it felt like sleepy time.
That's why the lights are off. Okay, I get it now.
Hang on.
Thank you.
He can hear us there.
Dan. Wake up, Dan. this is God punishing you for spending all of your money on betting and gambling and booze and your friend on pot. Lots and lots of pot.
Oh, there he is.
Okay. He's up.
See, I could see like going to sleep in someone's office with the door shut.
Sure, but not alone, like on a couch in the middle of a waiting area like we have out there.
It's like Bluto from Popeye wandered into your house and just like crashing on your couch.
Are you taking a picture of this?
This is a great scene. You can't tell me the view that I have isn't fantastic.
I can't see it.
Apparently you can see his balls for a while.
Hey, this time there he is.
He's up.
There he is. He's up. It's not. I think he had an alarm on his phone. He's turning it off.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. There will be no commercials here, just headlines, and we'll get back with the Bankroll Boys.